Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, here to Sports Daily. We go back-to-back guests because we start off hour number two with Paul Mills, Wichita State men's basketball coach. We've got an exhibition game in the books. We have seen basketball, coach. Yeah, you guys, like basically everybody else, maybe you guys a little less so, and I know you're excited about that, have a whole lot of new things to unpack with a whole lot of new players. If you had, you know, one or two just things that really stood out to you from the exhibition game over the weekend, what are you telling your friends you're excited about out of what you saw?
Well, I don't know that I'd base it necessarily on what I saw. It's basically on what I've seen. I was encouraged the other day by only five turnovers. You know, we had 14 assists, five turnovers, and only one of them in the first half, and that actually was from a big. If you look at it, four of the five turnovers that we had were from our bigs. And so you're happy that the guards were able to make good decisions, be solid in that respect. But I am excited about how well this team shares the ball. You know, of our 34 shots that we made the other night, 14 of them were assisted. But that's not a great ratio. You'd like to be north of 50% of your baskets to be able to be assisted. But, you know, the thing that we take into account are potential assists. You know, when we made a pass, hey, Jacob may make a pass to Paul Mills, but Paul Mills may miss the shot. And so it may not necessarily register on the stat sheet, but we have in-house analytics that we do that track potential assist, and was really encouraged by that number. But I am encouraged by how well this team shares the basketball, and it's something that we needed to make a significant stride in.
Do you think, when you see that, do you think it lends itself, coach, to this being a balanced attack? I would imagine that's what you want, right? We know there are shots to be had, but you'd probably love everybody to be taking them, right? Is that the design of this offense?
Well, the goal is obviously to get the best shot possible, and you want to be able to do it in a pretty efficient manner. And so, you know, taking the right kind of shots is pretty high on my list. Who takes them is pretty high on the list. I mean, you have a guy in Quincy Ballard who led the country last year in just the ability to make field goals. Now, the majority of those shots are dunks, and you'd prefer that. I mean, that's the best shot in basketball. But we really pay attention to what is the shot quality, and are we taking the right shots? I mean, teams aren't just going to let your best player shoot whenever they want. But the second thing that goes into it is who's taking them. So I think we pay very, very close attention to the level of the shot that we're getting. And you do want them. I mean, this is a team game. You do want them to be assisted. You know, I go back to Purdue was third in the country last year in assisted buckets. They had an assist on 65% of their possessions. Connecticut, who they played in the championship, was fifth. They had 64% of their possessions were assisted. So I think it is a quality of really good teams.
You know, Coach, you look at your schedule, and it's a really unique preseason before you get into the always tough conference schedule that you guys have to play. And that is a gauntlet. There's no question about that. But at some point, you know, you're going to have to look at this squad and say, what do we need to do in order to be ready for this conference schedule that we've got to play? What's the one thing you're going to try to do that will make this team ready for the conference out of the preseason?
Yeah, we need to be the best rebounding team in our league. I mean, we need to do a really good job there. I mean, I think any time that you can limit your team to less opportunities, you don't want opportunities extended by giving up offensive rebounds. That is definitely a focus, and I think it's something that we spend a great deal of time on, something that we pay a great deal of attention to. So I would tell you that defensive rebound, when is kind of how we gauge it. To give you an idea, if you're right around the 70%, I'm sorry, the 80% mark, if you can say, hey, you know what, let's get 8 out of every 10 of the other team's misses. You're going to be number one in the country. 78% actually leads a league, but leads a country. But we need to do a really, really good job there on the glass, and it's something that Wichita State basketball has been known for, and it's something that needs to continue here.
Coach, we were wondering earlier as we saw KU and K-State playing last night. You guys had one over the weekend. When you get to these exhibition games, how much, and I know the competitive nature is there, you want to win the games, but how much as coaches are you even paying attention to what the score is versus like individual things that you need to be working on to come out of the game with? Does that make any sense? How much time do you spend with the score versus what you're trying to execute within an exhibition game?
Yeah, I'd be lying if I tell you I didn't pay attention to the score, but I will tell you that it's not – it ranks pretty low on the list in regards to things that you're actually paying attention to. I don't know that we would play any different if we were up 30 or down 30, and that's something that you share with your team, that what we're trying to do is play the game. We're not here to play the scoreboard. So whether we're up 20, whether we're down 20, that does not dictate – our ability to make an attempt to just dominate our space and dominate this particular possession. So I think you go into it very scripted. I know that we did, especially for the first 24 minutes of that game. The other night it was very scripted. We were going to bring these people in at this time. You know, I don't know. I saw a little bit of Alabama-Memphis the other day, and they didn't have foul counts. I think we did, but I know when we scrimmaged Oklahoma State, we didn't even have foul count. So, I mean, there were guys out there playing who had 8 fouls. And so you're not necessarily challenged by, hey, this particular guy's in foul trouble. You know, now what's the next question that we need answered in order to deal with this particular issue? So I do think that it's scripted. I think it's probably scripted for a lot of coaches. They want to see certain combinations in those kind of environments, and you get the best answers you can with the limited time that you have.
Coach, talk a little about three-point shooting for this particular basketball team. And you're 40% on the exhibition game against Emporia State. Where does this team need to be percentage-wise? What is that percentage of threes being made do you need for Wichita State to be competitive in this conference?
Yeah, for us, we just need to be over a 1 point per possession. So what you ask your guys to do is, can we make half of our twos? And those need to be the right kind of twos. And then can we make a third of our threes? And if you do that, I mean, 2 for 6 from three is 6 points, the same as 3 for 6 from two is 6 points. So it's 6 points either way. One you're shooting 50%, the other one you're shooting 33%. We need to do that. We're not going to be, and I have no illusions, we're not going to be the best three-point shooting team out there. What we need to be able to do is convert free throws. And if you look at it, and I've been a part of this, I mean, I coached a team for over a three-year span, that was number one in the country at making threes. But what we were also good at was making twos. And everybody would ask me, people would ask, and are you trying to lead the country in threes made? And the answer was always no. We're trying to lead the country in dunks. And if you ever look, the teams that lead, but teams just don't let you go dunk the ball.
Yeah,
so what they're trying to do is collapse. They take it away. You can spray that thing out. And you get guys who put in time in the gym and can make shots. If you look at the two teams last year, Indiana State and Alabama, who led the country in threes, well, they also led it in twos. And there's a correlation there that the teams that can put pressure on the rim are going to draw defenses in to prevent that because teams aren't just going to let you get there. And then you have to be able to make it. Now, what we need to do is can we make a third of those? We need, I don't care what shot we take, it needs to equate to more than a point per possession. And if you're in that neighborhood, you're going to be in a pretty good position. You got to stay away from shots that don't lead to more than a point per possession.
Coach, as we get ready for the season, we've got Western Kentucky on Monday. Everybody played, I think, last night over the weekend in the exhibition game. What do you expect, at least early on? What kind of rotation? Because you got a lot of guys here that have probably earned some time. What kind of rotation do you expect early in the year?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the opponent. I mean, you're going into a game on the road, and there may be some players who are not familiar with that. And from what I understand, the game is sold out there in Bowling Green, Kentucky. It is a team that returns 12 players off of an NCAA team. 11 of the 12 played a year ago. And I know they're really high on their freshmen. So I know all of that being said, you're not going to put young guys in harm's way. And you're probably going with a lot of experience, especially early, and then have those other guys. So I would tell you that I'd feel comfortable with nine guys, you know, but that thing shrinks, especially as you get into tougher environments. We'll see how this all plays out, but I would feel good right now saying that We have a number of guys who've been experienced. You have returners, you know, the five of your top seven from a year ago, and then we've been able to add some experience. But we're not going to put anybody in harm's way from a depth. Now, that doesn't mean to say some of, you know, whether it be Zion Pipkin as a freshman or Joy or Giannis, two guys that, you know, one redshirted, one played limited minutes. It's not to say that those guys won't play. It's just you're going to rely on your experience in a game like that.
You know, one of the things that we really enjoyed just a couple weeks ago was an interview with Corey Washington. We had him on, and we really enjoyed having him on our show. And he seems to be a young man that's focused. He seems to that he has that quiet leadership. Is he going to be the leader of this team? And by the way, had a great night from the field, going 6 for 7, scoring 15 points. 6 for 7, though, that's not a bad average right there, Coach. What is the expectations for Corey Washington?
Yeah, love Corey. He's a utility knife. I mean, he can cut through spaces that other people can't, and can get there. His motor never stops. I mean, if you ever watch, as soon as a shot goes in, he's usually on the ball, picking up full court. He is our best conditioned athlete. You know, the one shot that he missed the other night was a grenade, in my opinion. Bijan threw it to him with like 2 seconds on the clock, and he had to shoot it from 24 feet. That wasn't really a quality possession for us. But I will tell you that his motor doesn't stop. He's ultra competitive. He isn't. We don't want to change people just in regards to who they are. Obviously, they need to change. But if you kind of just have a demeanor about you that you're a fierce competitor, but not necessarily you're the loudest in the room, that's usually okay, you know. And he does it. He is going to let his actions speak louder than his words. And he does a phenomenal job of just showing up every day. And you kind of preach that to your players, just being an everyday guy. It's interesting to watch him because he sits in, we have four rows in the film room, and he sits on the fourth row. All your bigger guys try to sit in the back, as I've realized when they pick seats in the film room. But his eyes are probably the biggest in the room. Like, he's constantly paying attention to what's being said and what's on the screen, and he's going to be a heck of a player, and I think Shocker fans will absolutely love this kid.
Yeah, I think we got a taste of that for sure in that game. Wichita State head men's basketball coach Paul Mills spending a few minutes with us. We really appreciate it. You mentioned Bijan Cortez lobbed him that grenade. I wonder on Bijan, who it was a kind of a messy way to get his year going last year with you know, just getting him on the court to begin with. Have you seen a difference? That's a guy with a big pedigree. You obviously brought him in last year. Now that things have settled just with him being able to get out there and play, how much progress from him as a player at this level have you seen over the course of last year to now what you're seeing this year?
Yeah, there's definitely an adjustment for him, you know, given the fact that his time at OU, specifically his sophomore year, was pretty limited. And then he comes in here, asked to sit out, and, hey, Bijan, you're eligible to play here at the end of the semester. Congratulations, your first game is Kansas State in a Kansas State-tilted arena. And then your second game is Kansas. And then you just jump into conference. And so I don't think he ever had a chance to dip his toe in the water and figure out what the actual temperature was. It was just like, we're throwing you in, and it's pretty cold, so you need to adjust. And, you know, happy for him. I mean, he only played 15 minutes the other night, but 3 assists, 0 turnovers, shot. Both of his shots that he shot, the threes that he shot, were shot him with confidence. Thought he did a good job just making simple plays. Had a number of two-foot paint touches that he was able to get, but he had 6 potential assists. And proud of the progress that he's made. He's really good on the ball and defensively, and he cannot get away from that. The thing that we have to continue to get Bijan to do is be continuous. I think a lot of players, once a ball is passed, once after you're defending somebody, they kind of relax and say, "Woo, glad my guy didn't score." And what they don't realize is defense is just beginning. And so we have to get him to think more continuously about the entire possession. But he's a very capable defender and has a chance to really make us better on that end of the more continuous he is.
Wichita State men's basketball coach Paul Mills, one more for you just to tidy things up. Any news yet with Mate and his availability, eligibility? Do we have any updates there?
Well, do y'all have a hotline to the NCAA? Is there
they blocked my number.
Yeah. Oh, my God. They haven't blocked ours, so that's good. But, no, I think we'll see. Sometimes these are 11th-hour decisions. You know, as you get closer and closer to the timeline, we don't know anything as of yet. And we're tracking a number of kids all across the country, and so we're not the only people who are in this boat waiting for an answer.
And then one from a listener here, Austin asks, Coach, the biggest thing you're looking forward to in year two coming in now that maybe is a little bit different now that you've had the full year underneath you?
Yeah, I'm excited about our depth, and I'm excited about our experience. I mean, that's why you turn around. I mean, we get the freedom to kind of, you know, we know who we have to play, and we get the freedom to mutually work on dates with the opposition about what works. And when this became available to play on the road in what will end up being a very tough place to play from a team that went to the NCAA tournament, I was – let's try it. You know, going back to the analogy I used earlier, I didn't want to dip our toe in the water and then figure out, you know, are we ready to dive in yet? We're going to dive in. We're going to see where we're at. We'll get better as a year, but I am excited about our depth, and I am excited about our experience.
Coach, we love that first game. National television, big day. It'll be one of the better games of the openers out there. So we're certainly looking forward to it. We know you guys are. You'll, of course, hear it. Right here with us and our Odyssey family. Coach, good luck in this final week of preparation. And next time we talk, we're going to be game ready.
Well, we'll have a record of some sort. So
Coach, we appreciate
Jacob,
it. Paul Mills.
Thank you guys.
There goes Wichita State men's basketball coach, Paul Mills. Always appreciate the visits there. Looking to do that more this season as we make our way through. A lot of great stuff there. If you missed any of it, you can go back and listen to it on the Odyssey app. That gets, you know, podcasted out basically there by Jad, so you can go back and listen if you joined us late. A lot of good stuff, individual players. I think, you know, Paul and I suspected Corey Washington when we talked to him might have something to say. At a fantastic opener, and boy, Western Kentucky on the road to open the year.
Ooh,
bring that on. We're excited about that.
That's going to be tough, Jacob.
Love that.
It's going to be tough. Yeah.
All right. We're going to catch our breath after back-to-back segments. We'll open back up the IHOP hotline for you. It is at 869-1240. It is brought to you by IHOP, where you can celebrate the weekdays, new IHOP house faves, all your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. We will also give away some HTO this hour, so stay tuned for your opportunity to win some prizes there as well. We're going to come back and regroup as Sports Daily rolls on a Wednesday.
Take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Give away a little HTO here, Paul Savage. If you want to win some free iced tea, 125 flavors, including the all-new Peach Cobbler Sweet, unsweet flavors, all kinds of good stuff, and some free rain coffee, iced or hot. You can do that right now by texting the keyword TTEA to the short code 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Again, that's T20357. Good for East Wichita, West Wichita, or in Derby. Good luck, everybody. See if you can't win a prize. Yes, Paul.
Hey, we've got to talk about giving away maybe some HTO water. I'll tell you what, I've had that now for the first time in the last couple weeks. That's darn good stuff. And by the way, I've learned the fact that HTO is they've got some of the best plastic bottles in the business. They've really gone all out on making sure that they're the safest and the best bottles for bottled water.
Yeah, good water.
And you know that. And one of these days we got to start pushing a little water out here because that's good stuff.
Yeah, it's good water. It's good water. You'll have to get in there and try it. All right, Paul, as we make our way through and sort of catch our breath with basketball and the flurry of the preseason that's happened, I don't want to lose sight of, the other things going on out there either, as we've had just massive trades made in the NFL. And this keeps happening. This is as active as we've seen a trade deadline be. We saw the Ravens go out and get Deontay Johnson, a guy we've thought for a long time would make sense for the Chiefs, of course, before they went and made their move for DeAndre Hopkins. But that adds an interesting piece of ammunition to the Ravens offense because he's very talented. And then you get the Vikings, and this maybe is more interesting as it pertains to the Chiefs. The Vikings, who lost their left tackle, Christian Darrisaw, for the year, go out and they make a trade for an offensive lineman. Cam Robinson comes in. Now, I would say that the Vikings are more desperate at that position than the Chiefs. It's a position we know the Chiefs would like to improve at, and probably in the most likely scenario is that their young players develop. But what if I told you, Paul, that it cost the Vikings a conditional fifth that can become a fourth, which I don't think they can make that trade twice. That's what they gave up to get D-Hop. But it makes me wonder, could you have traded a little bit more? When you see, we don't see offensive linemen traded that often, and the Vikings went and found one. Expiring contract. Interesting move, I thought, to see a left tackle traded at this point.
Well, that seems cheap to me. It seems cheap.
Inexpensive, right. But they would have had to pay a little more than that.
Because it's a cheap trade.
That's the trade they made for D-Hop. And this is a rental, most likely, is Robinson's on an expiring contract. So you're paying that for a rental. So they probably would have had to pay up a little bit more for that. But we saw left tackle traded, Paul. So if there's a market for it, and you're the Chiefs, do you pay attention to that?
Well, we've also seen what the problems are at left tackle for the Chiefs, and they're not pretty. I worry every game, about the health of Patrick Mahomes, which we all do. It's something that I think has to be addressed. You want to go on a Super Bowl run? You want to win another Super Bowl? You're going to have to do something if you're the Kansas City Chiefs at left tackle. I don't know that you can go with the rest of the season with the situation that there is right now. And I guess some of the young kids can get better, but we don't have a timetable on that, do we? We don't have a timetable that's set for that. So
that's the problem. That's the point. They have invested a lot in these two particular players, in Wanya Morris and Kingsley Suamataia.
Correct.
You'd like to think that over time they will improve. I would say that is likely. By how much and when does it happen?
I know.
Right?
Yes.
And again, this goes back to the same conversation we have all the time. Okay. Do the Chiefs treat this season differently because of historically what's on the line? I have contended, yes, they do. Now, the trade for D-Hop isn't any different than the move. That's the third straight year they've traded for a wide receiver. Is it the fourth? Whatever it is. I think it's the third.
But they've needed to.
But they've needed to, but it's not necessarily going any more all in than that. But we saw left tackle traded. There is now an established market for a left tackle. So There's a thousand different ways. The Vikings are, again, are more desperate. They lost their defensive tackle. So that, you know, their defensive tackle's out for the year. I don't think the Chiefs are in the same position as the Vikings were. Right. And it could be as simple as that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I can give you a scouting report on Cam Robinson. I know he's a player that's been paid a lot of money in his career and is a relatively high pedigree. But if I'm going to try and tell you, you know, compare Cam Robinson to Wanya Morris and how much of an upgrade that is, I don't like lying to viewers and listeners, Paul. I don't know. But I know a move was made at left tackle. So then you get into a thousand different questions. What would your scouts say in an evaluation of a guy like Cam Robinson? Because the Vikings didn't really have that luxury. They had to go find a left tackle, and so they did. The Chiefs still, like, if they were to make a move at left tackle, it has to be for somebody that they can say with, you know, certainty they feel like is better than what they have, which are two young, raw guys trying to fill that hole and right now playing a little above their heads. So there's a lot. It's not so simple for the Chiefs, but it is interesting that a market has now been established.
Right. The problem is guys like you and I watch, well, literally nearly every single play of every Chiefs football game. We just do. It's kind of what we do. It's fun. We enjoy it. We see the problem. We can see, and even when they're not even focused on the offensive line, we can see part of the pocket collapse at times. We can see players that dip and rip and get some progress and make Mahomes move inside the pocket. That's the problem. We see it. We understand the problem. Obviously, the Chiefs coaching staff also understands the problem. But it's a problem that in the NFL, unlike at East High School, if we have problems with our left tackle, we can't go get one. We can't. We got to figure out what we're going to do inside our situation with our players.
And but in about 8 days, that's what the Chiefs are going to be dealing with too.
That's right.
Because the trade deadline will have then passed.
That's right.
Now,
so there you go.
There will be free agents, but it condenses this timeline to make a call. That's why I told you yesterday, and I've had a pretty good read on this. I thought they'd go get a wide receiver. I thought they should go get a pass rusher, and they've done both of those things. I don't think those are, I think that's, you know, not that crazy to think about, but I would tell you that I think the likelihood that they go trade for a lineman is low. I don't think they're going to.
I don't know about that.
Even if there are too many, you've got to find a player that's available that makes you better. And that is unlikely, I would say, right? Because good teams are not trading left tackles. Mm-hmm. Bad teams are bad for a reason, right?
That's right.
And so now you've got to go find a good player on a bad team, and then you have to go acquire the player.
Yeah.
I just think it's unlikely because it's such a rare position where good players get traded anyway. Mm-hmm. And if it's not a really good player and you're not upgrading, why do you make the move?
That's right.
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 That's why I don't think they're going to, but I think we keep our eyes open now because it's been a lot, you know, it's a copycat league. Look at what's happened at wide receiver, right? The first domino falls and then all of a sudden we got wide receivers moving all over the place. Will that happen with left tackle? I don't think so, but I think it's worth paying attention to.
Yeah. To quote the movie, The Rookie, which was a baseball movie, then the scout says, somebody's asked the scout, you finding any players? He says, well, we're looking. It's the finding that's the hard part. That's the problem. It's the finding that's the hard part, and that's where the Chiefs are right now. They'll trade tomorrow. I believe they would trade. I believe they would do whatever it takes to sign another left tackle. Because they understand it in their interest to do. It's the finding that's the problem right now.
I don't think there's many. I can't think of one. Cam Robinson was a name that popped up.
They would have him if he was there. That's my point. They would
maybe. Cam Robinson's a name that popped up, but the problem again for me, Paul, is I don't know how much better Cam Robinson is than what they have.
Well, they know.
They know. I don't know.
That's though. Right.
And so it's hard for me to say, oh, they should have gone and traded for Cam Robinson. He was available.
Right.
I, you know, it's easier for me to sit here and say, yes, DeAndre Hopkins is an upgrade. I know that DeAndre Hopkins is an upgrade. I can tell you about receivers, and but offensive lineman goes above my pay grade, right? If it's not a lineman playing for the team I actively watch every play of, then I'm not going to have a I'm going to have to then trust what other people think, right? We don't see linemen when we're watching red zone and it's bouncing around all the touchdown plays. We know what's happening on the line for the Chiefs because we're watching the games closely, but I don't know what's happening at left tackle for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're terrible. I'm not watching that.
Yeah, I got
so that's where it's like, if the Chiefs thought Cam Robinson was an upgrade, I think they probably would have been aggressive to go get a player like that.
Yeah, there's only
I'm not sure that they think that. And the other part is too, Paul, two talented young players that you've invested a lot in. You tell me, you've been on the line. How much better can a left tackle, a young left tackle, get over the course of a year?
Well, it depends on the left tackle, obviously, and that's a good question. I don't know.
I asked Dan Israel that, by the way, and he racked his brain. I asked him Tuesday about that.
Yeah.
And he racked his brain and he mentioned, you know, Willie Rofe got better over time. Certainly that was the name that jumped. But he did say, like, it doesn't happen very often.
Right.
Like, especially at left tackle, you can kind of tell right away with a left tackle.
Right. There's only three things that count when it comes to playing left tackle: good feet, good hands, and a mean streak. That's all it takes to play left tackle. That's it. It's pretty easy to find, Jacob. Oh, it's not that easy to find. Good feet, good hands, and a mean streak. That's all it takes.
And not getting busted on the outside. And so the other thing is, like, I don't want to make excuses for the young left tackles either, that, you know, some really good defensive ends have given them trouble, because that's all they're going to see most likely in the playoffs. Most good teams have a good pass rush. So they're going to have to get better. Now, they may get some reprieve over the course of this season to improve not playing against those kinds of players. But the point is, they've got to improve.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've got two options there. And here's the deal. They have won Super Bowls without being great at that position. They have also lost a Super Bowl because they got destroyed at that position. So it becomes, as they've, you know, filled a couple other holes, probably, Paul, with the Chiefs at 7-0, the Ravens losing again, the game in hand against the Ravens, if you think they're the next competitor, like, it kind of becomes the number one thing to watch for the Chiefs down the stretch here.
Sure it does.
Is how those two tackles, to see if either of them can sort of step it up here.
Yeah, you're right. And the one thing you touched on that I agree with, too, is pass rush. Pass rush can change the course of a football team. You've got a great pass rush. So many things can happen. Changes of possession, change the field position. Great pass rush makes all the difference in the world. And right now, I think I'm happy with where the Chiefs are sitting. You don't have that Bosa or somebody like that, but
Hendrickson or that, yeah, all those guys.
There are some really good ones. There are some really good ones. But with that being said, it's a really good pass rush right now for the Chiefs, and it's getting better, it seems like to me. But, you know, there's still a concern at left tackle, because after all, the name Patrick Mahomes comes into the mix when we talk about that.
What do you do? They're going to roll forward. I don't think they're going to make another move. I'm going to try, Paul. I'm going to try to really evaluate left tackle, and it's hard, you know. It's hard. Well, you either get beat on a pass rush or you don't.
Yeah,
and the really, really good ones, you can tell, are really, really good through the course of a game.
And of course,
right? You can tell.
We'll see, because we'll probably see that if it becomes a real problem and it's a shaky deal, you'll start seeing the Chiefs doing more. They'll set a back to that.
Why don't they just stick a tight end over there? I'm going to ask you that as somebody who comes up with game plans. You've coached. Like, why not just stick a tight end over there all the time?
Not what they do. It's not what they do. But what they will do is they'll take a back, they'll slide him to that side, and the first thing he does is he'll help with the left tackle. If he doesn't, then he'll slip out into the flat. But they'll find a back that can help, you know, kind of chip on the pass rush or whatever the case is if he needs help. That's probably what the Chiefs will do, because they're not going to put Patrick Mahomes. But to set
you just don't want him taking shots, right?
To,
yeah, that's
set the tight end, it's still going to be one of those things where either you come off the edge of the tight end, if the tight end steps down to help with the pass rush, then there's all kinds of things that can still happen even with the tight end. You know, if you have a weak left tackle, it's hard to cover that up a little bit. The best way to cover it up is with a back. Have him chip off if there's a problem. You know,
takes away a passing option.
But it does. Yeah. But it does. That is correct.
I wonder, Paul, if we don't see, but kind of on that. Like, I wonder if when Isaiah Pacheco comes back and we assume that he's, you know, back healthy and Kareem Hunt still healthy.
All right.
I sort of have won, and I've wondered this for a little while, if they don't start running, what is that called, 20 formation, when you have two halfbacks back there?
Well, it's a pro set formation if you got two backs.
So if you don't, and not even like in an I formation, so not an I, but you just kind of stick both back there in a shotgun.
It's still a pro set. That's right.
And let one of them just kind of block. You know, you don't know which one or what it is.
What you got to do. Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're both capable, right? They've both been effective this year. I think it's something that we may see.
Well, it might be the only alternative.
Both of those guys.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It we'll see. But a left tackle's been traded. Market's set. I don't think the Chiefs are going to do anything at that spot because I don't think they can.
Yep.
But they're certainly paying attention to what the Vikings did with that trade yesterday. All right. We'll come back. We got more Sports Daily. Last full segment coming. It's Jacob Albrecht. It's Paul Savage. It's a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. Thanks to all those who celebrate with us. And we'll be right back after this.
And 1240 KFH. To Sports Radio.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I wanna hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. Thanks for joining us. If you missed anything with Shreya Salata or Paul Mills today, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. Jacob Albrecht, Paul Savage here. Paul, World Series Yankees get one.
Yep.
Yesterday, but the play we're all talking about, the fan is the first inning, tries to take the ball out of Mookie Betts' glove.
I've never seen anything like that, Jacob, ever.
Forgive my smoker's cough there, but I thought it was so good. I mean, I'm glad that it didn't escalate, and I understand why, you know, those things probably shouldn't happen, but it was such a perfect, like, representation of the frustration Yankees fans must be feeling at the way this series has gone, for a fan to just say that's enough and try and rip that ball out. Because, you know, at that point, they don't know that they're going to explode later in the game and kind of coast into a game four win. Like, you're just like, I've had enough. Like, I got to do something here. And to try and rip that out, I didn't like that they grabbed his other hand. But I honestly thought it was pretty funny.
Funny is a weird way. I had no idea you were going to say funny. I thought it was weird. I'll give you that
you
one.
You thought I'd have fake outrage at this one?
Well, I kind of do, because I've never seen anybody grab the glove. And by the way, the hand doesn't slide out. He grabbed the back of the glove on the wrist so tight that the hand couldn't come out. I mean, literally.
I didn't like that part of it.
That was not good.
The idea of a fan being so frustrated that they try and rip the ball away out of the glove, I think, is incredible. And I think it's so representative of those desperate moments we've always felt as fans. Like, it's right there. I cannot promise you right now, Paul, that, you know, in a different lifetime, obviously not now, but when I was younger and before I was in this for a living, like, if I'm a fan out there and I had tickets to game four and I spent all this money and my team was getting its tail kicked and that ball's sitting right there in front of me, that I wouldn't, you know, do that. I don't think I would, but I get it. I guess I get it. And I thought it was pretty funny.
Well, obviously it wouldn't have happened if it was a Yankees in the outfield, and obviously that wouldn't have happened, but I've never seen anything quite like that. The grabbing of the glove, the fan literally, and if you haven't seen this, the play that we're talking about is in the first inning, and it's on the right. I think it's the right sideline, right down the, from the pole, and it's a foul ball. And it's one of those things where the face, the work, the grimness of the Yankee fan that grabbed him. Did you notice his face? The way his determination was to get that ball out of the glove. What's he thinking, Jacob? Is he thinking if I can fling this ball out of his glove, it'll be a foul ball? Is that what he's thinking? I don't know what he's thinking, but it was the weirdest thing. He needed to be kicked out. There's no question about that, obviously. But I've never seen anybody grab with malice. And can I use the word malice?
I'd have malice, too, if my team was getting its butt kicked for three games to nothing.
You would not have malice. That's ridiculous. We're for sportsmanship.
Malice, Paul. If I was a Yankees fan, I would have malice. Mookie Betts handled it fine after the game. He said it doesn't matter. He's fine. They lost. Irrelevant.
Right.
The rules are in place. You don't want that happening all the time or anything like that. But just like knowing that everything was fine and nobody was hurt or anything like that, like at the moment, I'm going to laugh at that because I thought it was pretty funny.
Right.
It's such an embodiment of what it's like to be a frustrated fan.
Right, right. And if you haven't seen it, you've got to see it. You've got to see it. Find it. Go on the internet, whatever you got to do to find it. Find it. And check out the expression of the guy on the left, the guy who holds the glove. I mean, let's face it. That guy's having the time of his life while that's going on. That's probably his big deal for the rest of his life. He's accomplished something. Now, obviously, what do you think those tickets cost? $500-$600, I'm guessing?
Yeah, a lot.
500, let's say 500.
He did say, they said after the game, I think ESPN talked to him, they said that they would be welcomed back. It's a season ticket holder. I love to not to stereotype here, but the guy on the left in the road jersey.
Right.
Is the stereotypical Yankee fan, too.
Oh, my God.
I mean, if you had to draw a picture of a Yankee fan, this guy, he just is like the total Yankee fan. He looks the part. He's got the right swag and the right attitude and to take that action. It was good stuff.
Our buddy Joe Rocco, I'm going to see him a little later today, and I'm going to have to ask him about this play because Joe Rocco, I mean, there's not a Yankee fan alive that bleeds Yankee blue like he bleeds Yankee blue. So I'm going to have to ask him and see what he thought of this whole thing. But, I thought of Joe Rocco on this play too, but it was different. I guess I'm giggling about it now a little bit. I thought
it seemed like everything was fine. Yeah. Nobody was hurt. It was a funny thing that happened. It was high entertainment, high quality stuff there. But hey, the Yankees do get a game. We got to,
Bats
maybe
alive.
We're starting to get a little bit of a series going here, and they get Garrett Cole going back now. Maybe they can turn this thing into a series.
Yep.
Mike says that was a $1,400 ticket. I think he must have looked it up.
Wow.
Hey, true fandom, do whatever it takes to help the team win, even if you know you're getting kicked out of the game early, I guess. But a good moment and a memorable moment. And who knows? Maybe the Yankees will turn this thing into a series.
Right.
I certainly won't hurt my feelings to see him get busted early. But we'll watch it. World Series. Staying interesting. We'll come back. We'll tell you what's on the network tonight when we return on Sports Daily.